My guest at this time is Texas Republican Congressman Kevin Brady. He represents the Lone Star State's 8th Congressional District, and he is also the top House Republican on the Joint Economic Committee. He's also a member of the House Ways and Means Committee. We want to get his thoughts on the bill that just passed the House and Senate to avert the so-called fiscal cliff, how it sets the stage potentially for the debate over the debt ceiling that's coming in just a few weeks, and what he expects as a new Congress, the 113th Congress, is sworn in on Thursday. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, thanks for having me, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, sir. And I'm sure you weren't expecting to spend New Year's Day in Washington and at work, but that's where you found yourself. Obviously, when looking at the vote totals, the Republicans were split on this with more voting no than voting yes. How did you vote, and what was your rationale for doing so?
You know, it was a tough vote because it didn't include what most of us fought for, which is real spending cuts, tackling of these automatic spending cuts to make sure it didn't hit defense but other wasteful spending. And it didn't address Social Security and Medicare, which is really the key challenges facing America. What it did include, and the reason conservatives like Paul Ryan, myself, Ron Johnson, and Pat Toomey support it, is that it permanently lowered tax rates, permanently made law most of the Bush tax cuts. It eliminated the alternative minimum tax, and it raised the death tax exemption so it protects most of our family-owned businesses and farms. It was not an easy vote by any measure, but it seemed to me that with every day we let it hang out there, it was only going to get worse.
The president said in his comments following the House vote that he is not in the mood for any sort of political brinksmanship when it comes to the debt ceiling in a few weeks. Sounds like most Republicans are very much looking for a major debate on that, and especially to address some of the issues that didn't get touched in this bill, including the ones you just mentioned.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, two of our priorities were to deny as much tax revenue as possible and to make sure these weren't short-term extensions of this tax relief because, you know, the president wanted three times as much higher taxes than what in revenue that he ultimately got. The other thing is he wanted an automatic debt ceiling increase, and so we're able to deny him that. But our belief is that the debt ceiling vote is our strongest leverage for getting authentic spending cuts, forcing these guys to the table. But I'll tell you what, this president, in my view, you know, having now gone through several rounds of watching him operate, he's not a serious president on these issues. He's not someone you can count on to tackle big issues, just like in this case, where he was basically ignored and the vice president had to eventually step in to do this. I really don't expect him to lead on these issues.
You mentioned Pat Toomey, Senator from Pennsylvania, a moment ago. On Morning Joe, he mentioned that that's the Republicans that have the leverage when it comes to the debt ceiling, and he says the party has to be prepared to go to a temporary partial government shutdown and be willing to take that step, not just as a negotiating tactic, to prove to the president that the party means business. Are you ready to go to that step?
Absolutely. Senator Toomey is right. And if we don't get this right, I think we're looking at another downgrade of our credit rating in America. And the truth is, you know, we may have avoided the so-called fiscal cliff. We're still in a fiscal ditch in a major way. So nothing changed from that standpoint, and it has to change.
As for House Republicans, you're in the majority for another 2 years, and we also saw during the debate over the fiscal cliff that there was obviously a bit of a division. I don't know if dissension is the right word, but the Plan B did not get accepted by the conference, of course, and then, as we mentioned, there was not a lot of unanimity when it came to the final bill. What's your sense on the mood, the sense of the caucus, the attitude towards the speaker, and all sorts of other things as you get going here in the 113th?
You know, I think after the November election, where unfortunately didn't go the way we had worked so hard for, and Democrats still control 2/3 of Washington, we knew this was going to be a fight. We're having real honest differences about what's the best strategy to maximize our power and influence. Which fights do we focus on and go to the mat for? Which ones are we simply not able to pull across the line as we would like to have? I think today, I don't know if there will be other alternatives, but clearly the choices between Nancy Pelosi and Speaker John Boehner, and there's no question about who I support, John Boehner. And should he decide to not seek speakership today or sometime in the future, whenever that would be, you know, I'm going to support the most conservative candidate.
Congressman, you mentioned a moment ago, if Speaker Boehner decides not to stand again, is there a chance that might not happen today?
You know, I don't believe so, but I just don't believe so.
Congressman, what other issues will this majority be focused on? We've obviously talked a lot about our fiscal and debt issues. What else will be the top priorities here in the
next
2 years?
Well, on the Ways and Means Committee, we're going to focus on tax reform, on fighting again the worst parts of Obamacare and shining a light on all the new regulations and taxes that are really going to drive up the cost of health care. And we're also dead serious about fleshing out real reforms for Medicare and Social Security. So we're going to focus on the big issues. We think that's where, frankly, we have a better chance of pushing people toward either answering why they want to tackle it or forcing them to sit down with this. But, you know, the small issues, frankly, don't matter anymore. We need to focus on the big ones.
Finally, sir, in terms of what else might need to be done economically, I know you study that in both Ways and Means and on the Joint Economic Committee. What else can be done to help spur job creation?
You know, I think the roadblocks in front of this economy are still here, which is, you know, the president's obsession with higher taxes. I think we resolved that and limited. Regulation, just a tsunami of red tape. The Obamacare taxes and is really, at this point, the biggest roadblocks until we remove them. We won't see that job growth. And from the Joint Economic Committee, we're going to focus on getting the role of the Federal Reserve right, because I think they're adding uncertainty to our economy, trying to make up for President Obama's failed policies. And we're going to shine a real light on the role of the Federal Reserve, which should be to protect the purchasing price of our dollar. And if they do that right, we'll see our economy take off.
Congressman, there's going to be a lot of robust debate, and we look forward to getting your insights on all of them as time goes on here in the new Congress. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Well, Greg, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Texas Republican Congressman Kevin Brady represents his state's 8th Congressional District, member of the House Ways and Means Committee, top House Republican on the Joint Economic Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.